Now, in dreams, everyone is creative, intuitive, and guided by dimensions that are not usually perceivable whilst awake. Well, Dr. Michael Lennox is here now to help us to explore our psychic abilities and teach us how to develop them through dream work. Delighted to have you on the show with us, Michael.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, are there different types of dreams then?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that's powerful about the dream state is that our rational mind that sort of keeps us from bumping into the furniture while we're awake goes away. It goes to sleep while we are asleep. It's that rational mind that interferes with what we sometimes call the still small voice of intuition. So when we go into the dream state, we can tap into the multidimensional experience of what it is to be in a body. So sometimes people who have passed away can visit us in dreams. Sometimes dreaming is so powerful that people you're close to will share dreams that you're having. You've got people who will leave their body in astral projection kind of experience. There's all sorts of mystical experiences that happen in the dream state that are different than the standard chaotic, crazy story dreams that we also have every night.
Yeah, I always understood dreams, and please tell me if I've got this wrong, but I always understood dreams as being sort of your subconscious. So anything that might have happened in the day, anything that might be on your mind, all gets jumbled up and comes out in a dream. But are you saying you can actually control these dreams?
What you're describing is one of the functions of dreams. And one of the things that science will do is they'll discover something technical and sciencey about the brain structure, what it's happening, you know, and then dismiss the mystical. But the mystic will take in the scientific information and incorporate it. So we get all this data all day long, what we see and touch and feel and experience. We have to form short-term memory and get rid of everything that's extra. And we do that in the dream state. We are, in fact, reviewing everything that happens during the day. And so we will often dream of stuff we've done that day. And that might cause someone to dismiss the content of dreams, but that's only one of the things that's happening. We also believe, certainly in the world of psychology, that there's value in getting into that unconscious space where there's material that we experience in dreams that is like deep and rich, where we have fears and terrors and doubts and things that are part of our humanity that aren't us forming short-term memory and reviewing the day. There's real value down there.
So is hypnosis a form of dreaming then?
That's a great question. Hypnosis resembles dreaming in the way that following the hypnotic suggestions allows the conscious mind to sort of slightly disengage. And the theory upon, you know, that makes hypnosis work is that if you open up the unconscious a little bit, even while awake, apparently, that you can plant ideas in there that'll have more traction so that you can like start the quitting your smoking on a Wednesday because on Tuesday you visited the unconscious and planted that idea. It is the same principle. Quiet the rational mind that interferes with multidimensional perception and you will have more of that.
Okay. So how do we start this process of manifestation then?
Well, I love that you bring up manifestation because that's very popular these days, that you go out there and manifestation teachers will tell you, you can have anything you want. You just have to think the thought, feel the feeling as if you already have it, and you are on your way to creating anything you desire. Well, the challenge with that is it's not true. You can't have anything you desire. You cannot create something, for example, that you don't have the talent or capacity to generate. You also can, and this is important, you cannot keep something that might even come along if under the surface of your unconscious, you don't feel worthy of that thing. So you can say, I feel rich till the cows come home. But if under the surface of the unconscious, you're terrified of poverty, it's not going to work. But dreams give us access to like what I like to call our no. So we are a yes during the day. That's great. Have at that. But then bring in your dream experience. You can ask your dreams like in a petitioning kind of way, like before you go to bed. Bring me a dream that helps me manifest this desire by looking at where I might be afraid of it or undeserving of it. And then see what dreams come and start engaging in an active conversation between your conscious mind that says, I want this thing, and the unconscious mind that will express in dreams where and how you might be feeling a little emotionally inhibited about creating those desires.
So can you manifest a person? I mean, you mentioned, Michael, you know, somebody from the afterlife might come to you in a dream. Can you actually, if you're missing somebody terribly, can you manifest them to come into your dream to see you?
The power of intention is wildly misunderstood. You know, we call it the placebo effect out there when you take a sugar pill and you can manifest healing, because the intention drives the brain powerfully. So if someone has passed away, I've had the experience of talking to people who were very sad and in deep grief and wanted to have that experience in the dream state. And anybody who comes to me who says they want that and it hasn't occurred yet, I would encourage them to do this sort of intention setting process. Like before you go to bed, I would say, hey, sit down. If you don't have a dream journal, go get one. And don't just use that dream journal to write about your nighttime experience in the morning. You can use that dream journal to intend what you desire for your dream experience. And I would encourage that person before bed every night, if they're that motivated, to say, please bring me a dream where X person comes and visits, because intention is powerful and it operates at an unconscious level. And I think that, you know, I cannot guarantee that just because you desire to have a connection with someone who's passed, setting the intention and requesting it to occur is a very powerful way of marshaling your unconscious in that desire as well as your conscious mind.
Yeah, it does make sense, actually. If you keep thinking it, it's like we said, it's things that have happened in your mind during the day. So it does make sense. And what's a dream journal then?
Well, the idea, here's how I like to think of like working with a dream journal. The dreams are almost like the unconscious knocking at your door. And the dream journal, the idea of writing down the dream that you've had, is a little bit like telling the unconscious you're responding to the knock. So my belief is that dreams have a power to help us be wiser on a Tuesday than we were on a Monday. We have life on life's terms. We go to sleep. We work out some of our fears and anxieties, and we wake up more equipped to deal with life on life's terms. Well, that's built into the mechanism as far as I'm concerned. But any time that you amplify your conscious awareness of the process, I think you make it richer. I don't think you grow more by looking at your dreams and writing them down, but I think you grow faster by doing it. These days, many people will do this digitally. They'll get their phone or a digital recorder and they'll record their dreams verbally when they wake up. I like that if it's the absence of nothing on the other side of that. I think writing is more visceral. But the idea of the dream journal, it's like an intimate conversation on paper between you and your unconscious, and you simply go there and record your dreams. What will happen is your dreams will become richer, more vivid, more prolific. And now you're in an engaging conversation between your conscious mind and what your unconscious is reflecting to you in your dreams.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on the writing front. I'm a journaler and I have to write things down, not talk into a microphone, but I like to actually physically write.
Yeah. It's more visceral and it's something that's changing. You know, honey, gone. The new generation won't even know from writing, but we know it. And so it's, you know, if you've got a pen nearby, pick it up rather than the digital, if it's an option that you can work with.
me and my aunt in England even write letters to each other. We know we can email, but we actually write letters.
Oh, beautiful. Honey, I remember what it was like to receive letters as a kid. It was like the highlight of life.
Tell me about it. So, Michael, what about people that say they've had out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences? Is that a form of dreaming?
Well, it's a form of both of those things describe something that is presumably possible of like tethering away from the limits of the body, right? The body is the only aspect of ourself that's in the present moment. Our mind can go forward and backwards in time. We can think about the future. We can think about the past, but the body is absolutely rooted in the present moment. But our energy, our soul, our thoughts, our mind is this great mysterious thing that is like, it's in the body, but it's not really of the body. So if somebody has an experience of feeling so free of the body energetically that they literally perceive movement around the world that's not attached to the body that they call an astral projection. It's similar to dreaming in that it's part of what can happen in the magnificence of perception when it's not weighed down by the appearance of limitation. So yes, they're all sort of the same. I would say like astral projection, visitation dreams, all these different mystical things, let's call them cousins.
Yes,
they're all
same family.
Cousins of the same family of what's possible when we reduce the limits of our perceptive mind. You know, our brains, we know this through science. We are perceiving a tiny fraction of the energy that's actually here in the room with us. And so that's one of the ways we can sort of appreciate that the mind that talks to you, that says, I know who and what and where I am, cannot perceive the enormity of what's possible. But once you learn to quiet that mind, you open up to the intuitive guidance that's available for us.
Well, it's interesting because although we're talking at the moment about dreams, I mean, when you're in an awake state, does everyone have intuition? I mean, can everyone, obviously we have intuition, but can we use it? Yeah. Can you teach us how to use it?
You know, I liken this to singing. Everybody who can speak and hear can sing. It's just elongated speaking. But there are factors that make us want to listen to one person sing, but not another, right? And that's the ability for the ear to hear tone, match tone, and repeat tone, and sing in a way that we like. So that's what intuition is. We all have intuition. Some of us are born with a more natural orientation to hear the still small voice of intuition, and everybody can develop that ability more thoroughly by a number of things. One of them is, I believe that paying attention to your dreams and just amplifying a dynamic of perception that is not limited, but that's private, you experiencing your dreams, that's a way to bleed into our waking life, to be more akin to seeing our waking life as that dream landscape where anything can happen, where we're powerfully, you know, creative as well. And I just think that that if we bleed into quieting the mind as a behavior during our waking life, like meditation, that is similar to the dreaming quietude of the mind, right? So you want to be more intuitive, pay attention to your dreams as one behavior, and start meditating on some level to learn how to quiet that rational mind while you're awake.
Fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. It really is. And our listeners can find out more by picking up the book, which is called Psychic Dreamer, Exploring the Connection Between Dreams and Intuition. It's by Dr. Michael Lennox, who we're chatting to now, who certainly knows his stuff. And if people want to find out more about you, Michael, do you have a website at all?
I do. It's michaellennox.com. It's just my name, MichaelLennox. And everything about what I do is available there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for taking time to be on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me.